My theme tune. Mike, what have you done with my theme tune? welcome to Journeys with JP.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Northern Scotland, sweating. It's hot for the first time in ever. Welcome to Journeys with JP.
That's why, Dave. That's why.
Good to be back. Oh yeah, that's why that was.
No, that's right. No, I should be able to. Dave, can you hear me?
There we go. And welcome once again to the No Borders Radio Group and to Wolf Spirit Radio and to Revolution Radio.
Oh yes, very good.
We are here.
My own voice coming back, and eventually it will tell Dave to listen in on the other stream.
I have stopped the other stream. Thank you.
I thought you were just getting a bit confused there. Oh well, how are you, Dave?
Slightly short of magnificent today, having an absolutely fabulous day with all kinds of weird things happening, which make it fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's better than just retiring and just dying, isn't it?
Yeah. Let me put on my headset so I can hear you better.
Well, that would be good. Yeah. So we were also going to be joined in a second by Tony Pazcheck. Once I've brought him in. So there's, here he comes. That's good. So, one of the things I wanted to discuss with you, Dave, because we didn't actually get round to do it last night. And it's something that Frank Jordan, suggested, last week. He's just heard about Planet X, and, what he was wanting to do was to speak to all of us. And ask us what we've heard about Planet X. Now, you're well aware, Dave, of, my contact with, Alex Collier and, with Mark Kimmel and with Gordon James Giannotto about their, input on Planet X. Now, I only do one day a week on Wolf Spirit Radio, and we've been running for, like, God knows. It's nearly 3 years, isn't it?
It's almost 3 years. Pardon me, almost 3 years, yeah.
My golly gosh.
Doesn't seem that long, does it?
It doesn't seem that long, but on the other hand, it feels like we've really covered a lot of ground, and I'm like, wow, how much more we know now? How much more? How our perceptions of where reality starts and ends has changed since we've been talking to all these amazing people.
That's true, because when I go back and at night I have a chance to sit here and listen to the shows as I replay them. And it's incredible the amount of knowledge that I didn't know. But now that I'm into this, and I gotta say one thing, I'm appreciative of everything you have done for the last 3 years and what you're gonna do in the future to help Wolf Spirit Radio.
And hopefully, expand that. But what I'd like to encourage is, Eastern Europe, India, Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii, so that there's a golden thread that runs through the day and everybody's producing content and we can simulcast each other and it's like a very happy community and nobody's in stress because everybody's just doing what they're doing, but there's enough.
It's interesting when you take a look at what people can do, and it's like the show we just done that I'm starting to set up to edit. Its title is Why You Do What You Do. And talk about a topic that triggers your mind to think, my God, why do I do what I do? You know, for me it's easy. I do what I do because I like it. I enjoy it. And there's things I don't enjoy doing that have to be done, but I do them anyways, and I don't complain about it. But this, we're not only Wide Awake, pardon me, here on Wolf Spirit Radio. We have a lot of people who are joining us because they're waking up. They want to know what they can do. They want to know, how do I wake up? How do I do what I do? You do what you do because you choose to do it. That's the easiest answer I have. And last night, when you were trying to set up the call with Frank Jordan, I knew that was going to happen. And we didn't get any of our host, and yet I've sent out several emails to them inviting them to come in. And I thought, things happen as they're supposed to happen. It's how we react, not act, to those situations that are thrown in front of us. Do you agree with that?
It is better to act than to react, indeed, Mr. Corso. I would say that that's almost a Corsism, if there is such a thing. A Corsoism.
Thank you.
So, hello, Tony.
Hi, JP.
How are you?
I am doing quite well, actually. Thank you so much for asking me to join you.
Dear listeners, you are listening to Tony Paschek. Paschek. Tony Paschek on Revolution Radio. So, how are you, mate?
I'm awesome. Doing a lot of work with my Organite Pyramids. I caught the show last night, and I almost called in several times, but it was going the direction that I hoped that it would go. This whole Planet X thing, one of the things I'm very aware of and have learned a lot through changing where I command my vessel to be consciously is that it's one thing to be informed, but it's quite another to dwell on negativity. And the whole Planet X thing, and this is just my sense of it, and this is why I'm so very cautious about it, is that I am really becoming more and more aware, almost on a daily basis, that our consciousness and intention create our reality. So given that that seems to be the universal creation mechanism, I think that we need to be very aware of the way that we view things and what we're carrying around in our consciousness field. And there is a whole lot of negativity around the Planet X subject. But I was really, really pleased in the way that your show went, because what you basically were doing is being aware of that consciousness and is that you were doing what it takes to change the negativity towards something that is positive. And I highly commend you for doing that. And Frank Jordan was up to speed on that, and also was, what was the name of the female guest? I'm so sorry, I forgot.
That's Susan, one of his think tank people.
Yeah. And that you were all on the same page, is that this is something that we can have an effect on. And that we need to be very aware that we have that power. And as most listeners know, that on my show Spirit Quest, I call my listeners master creators. Bless it or deny it, that's what we are. And we have the power. We have the power to change these things. And I really... it's been very fascinating when you step back and you look at the big picture, how much fear has been injected into the consciousness of humanity about these things in the sky coming at us. This has been going on for a couple of years, and it's very intentional by the cabal that we fear these things, because that will produce the result that they want.
Yeah, they'll harvest their harvest of negative energy and loads of empty seats.
Right.
But here's the thing. This is the whole thrust of it. You know, my show is about esoterics now, which is basically, you know, you go inside and find what you need on the inside rather than on the outside.
Right.
And one of the aims of it is that we become, okay, so I'm going to use a few words which have these very vague meanings, but I'm going to be really specific about them all. One word they call is, in the esoteric terms, is initiation. In other terms, they call it ascension. And in other terms, they call it, rapture. Yeah? But I think they're all talking about the same thing, which is the birth of the divine soul in the human body. And the whole teachings, all the seven or eight teachings and all that, is designed to purify the way you think. Because it is very simple, and it's just been made complex. So what we're needing to do is to get to really find out what our resources are within ourselves, and also realize that there's a it's like a star, that inside the heart there's a tiny black hole. And that black hole is radiating energy. That energy, what William calls is gravity. That's a gravity wave. We're gravity generators. Other people would call that a time-space wormhole or something like that. It's multidimensional. It allows connection between higher dimensions and lower dimensions in the same way that the Ark of the Covenant did that inside the Great Pyramid. It's like the anchor point from one dimension into another, as a communication. So we're all going to become like that. The planet is producing these tiny little beings, that are like little stars. And that's why they talk about star children. You know, there's a star inside people, which is becoming more and more aglow as we go deeper into the south, polar, hemisphere of the galaxy. As you know, we've just crossed over. That's what 2012 is all about. We've crossed over the point of crossing.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going to find all these pyramids are going to start lighting up. Great big beams are going to start shooting out the top. And they're going to produce a protective grid if they haven't already. Because we've seen these pyramids in various places with these blue lights sticking out the top of them, haven't we, Tony?
Yes, we have.
And
there's actually an excellent photo of that happening to a pyramid in Central America.
That's right. So what's that doing? That's producing a grid, a protective grid. So what happens? Frank was talking about last night. During the meditation, I'll just talk about it because Frank Jordan is a healer. He's been a personal sort of psychic healer. He's a minister, and he's had all of these experiences connecting in with his own higher self and learning from himself, you know, his own inner self, his own intuition has taught himself some spiritual truths, which when he expresses them, other people say, yes, that's true because I experienced that, or, you know, or such and such person says that, but he finds those truths from within. That self-realization. He's been talking, he's only just discovered the idea that we've got this, entity that is passing through our solar system, and it's been hidden from us, and, other people on these alternative radio stations have been talking about it, and I've had guests, as I mentioned earlier, Alex Collier and Gordon Gianinotto, and among others, who have been talking very specifically about the cover-up of this thing, the
the search for it at the same time. It's like a, it doesn't exist, but we're looking for it. And for instance, the IRAS and also this this new thing from the Vatican that is called Lucifer. No joke. I mean, come on. Anyway, so there's various events happening. Now, the point that I'm getting to, if I had one, yes, I do have one. The point that I'm getting to is that these scenarios of doom and gloom are oft avoided. And how are they avoided? We've evolved out of it. And in order for humanity to, I think in a way we need to be sort of shocked out of our sleep to awaken into the ascension, which is essentially, you know, it will appear like a dream because, you know, stuff that happens in dreams happens in reality. So you have to be very careful what you think. I don't know how people are, but often more and more the results of your thoughts play out almost immediately and find their way in, into slapping you back around the face. I'm sure we've all seen that. And that, I think that's been happening a lot more recently. So the expression of our thoughts into reality is manifesting. Do you think, Tony?
Absolutely. My sense is, and there's quite a bit of actually physical evidence that the veil is thinning and the lies, the deception cannot continue to support itself because it's based on fiction. And that is the transformation that is now occurring, and you actually brought up a number of points that are very interesting, at least in my experience. When I did the Mount Shasta trip, and also there was another excursion that happened afterward, I had so many moments of deja vu and so many synchronicities. I was literally... this is so hard to try to communicate to your average person, but what it was like stepping into another realm of the magical and mystical, and it was it has been since my picking up of actually it started before I picked up Andrew Bartzis and drove him down to Mount Shasta is that. I am living in a different realm, and it is extraordinarily difficult. I remember when I came back from Mount Shasta, and I was, I put my PC together and everything, and I sat for 45 minutes not wanting to turn it back on. I did not want to come back to this physical realm, and I knew that if I turned my PC on and reintegrated into this fiction reality world is that there is going to be a transition and that I did not want to step out of that magical mystery realm. And both are, this is my experience, both are quite real subjectively. It's individual for each person. But yet we all have access to this very mysterious, very powerful existence. And when we become conscious of that, amazing circumstances, events, synchronicities that we term as miraculous start to occur. And what I'm starting to really understand is that it's not miraculous. It's actually our true essence being revealed, is that we are spiritual beings of profound light, depth, and proportion, and that we are the creators of our reality. And this is the transition that we're going through, is that this has always been our essence, but it's been so covered and so diverted by programming and hypnosis, which has been very intentional over eons of time. And we are now reached this graduating period is that we get a choice. those who want to remain in negativity, and they will produce that result. Those of us who have awakened and are starting to empower ourselves and understand our true essential power as divine aspects of the Creator, beings of light, we will graduate to that existence. And those who want to remain asleep, they can choose that too. Everybody gets a choice in this transformation process. So it's a matter of becoming very consciously aware of where, as a sovereign being, you command your vehicle. And you're going to produce whatever your consciousness is dwelling on.
So, Dave.
Yes.
Yes.
You have, through your presumed acceptance of the job, you know, the outside, you know, in the other place, you've been through a point where, yeah, how can I put this? Like your vehicle has been tinkered with. Let's put it that way. They tinkered with yours, and your experience of expressing your soul was, you know, I would venture to say that, you know, that it was hijacked at the beginning. But now, you know, it's a long way.
I agree.
It's a long way back, Dave. You know? And now, you're the driver.
Thank you.
You're the driver of that vehicle. You've conquered it. With almost, you know, in a way, you've helped to build the manual. I'd love to have Eva on, actually. This is a part of our ongoing conversation, is the manual for the vehicle. You've had unimaginable experiences, Dave, and probably you can't remember like 90% of them.
Oh, at least 90%.
Yeah.
But when I was on the show, hang on a second, when I was on the show with Knight and Warbeck Saturday, he has shown me the key to unlock the doors down that long hallway of memories. And I'm sitting here right now, and I have cold chills going up and down my body like you wouldn't believe, which means this is something that everyone should do. Look into your own mind. Look down your hallway of memories. Now, I look, when I turn around, look, I've gone through a lot of doors. I've gone through those memories, and they always lead me back to the hallway after I find out what's in that room. And it's incredible when I take a look at, lack of a better word, how blessed Wolf Spirit Radio is to have the host that we have. They're here for one reason, to share knowledge and experience freely and willingly to anyone that wants it. And JP, you have done so much for Wolf Spirit Radio that I can't begin to tell you of my gratitude and thanks. And believe me, I learn so much every day that I go to bed and I say, thank you, Creator, what am I supposed to do with all this knowledge? And they say, we'll show you when the time comes. And it's amazing, because now we got something else done today on the website. Up on, when you call up a schedule for the show for that day, it shows you 5 clocks, the 4 time zones here, and it shows the time zone where you are now.
That's good.
And slowly we're going to get this website to where it's going to be the best on the whole blasted internet, forever long that lasts.
At least you know what the net's like.
You're cutting out a little bit there, buddy.
Am I?
Yes.
Good Lord, I thought I had a perfect signal. Huh. Anyway.
Actually, both of you are cutting in and out a little bit.
Oh, well, I'm hearing Dave wall to wall, so I hope that we're all going to the radio perfect. So, and it's because that often happens, you know, we can't hear each other, but the hosts can hear everybody. So let's hope that that's the case. It's lovely. So what you talked about there, Dave, I think is a really important thing. And this is what you talked the hallway, the corridor of your memories. And it's basically, it's like we're talking, this is part of a technique that is used in hypnosis for what they call regression. And, you don't have to, you know, be under hypnosis. You can just kind of, just make it up. Just relax and make it up, because that's the way, you know, that is the same object. And basically you're walking, down the corridor and you open a door, and it allows you to explore different episodes in your life or, depending on your belief system, in past lives. And so there's also what I'm interested in, Dave. This is the really important thing, okay? And it's harrowing, so that's a lot of fun. There may be a dingley-dingley in a minute, but it's about reintegrating those cubes of you that were cut away and separated. How did that happen? How you learn techniques to do it? You it happened accidentally. What's the deal, Dave? How did you start to become a normal person?
That is the most interesting question, because when I sit here and think about it, it happened almost by itself. I was on a lot of radio shows when we first started this, and we had a lot of people on there. And I finally got a picture that I could draw out of my altars. And I have pardon me. Sinuses are working good today. But I have at least 10 altars. And what's interesting is when one of those alters takes over, it's kind of like it takes the right brain, I take the left brain. And sometimes I'm aware of it and sometimes I'm not, but I've had people sit here and say, you sit differently and talk differently. And that to me was earth-shaking, for lack of a better descriptive term. I said, I do? They said, yes. And it's interesting now when I sit here and I listen to most of the shows I record, believe it or not. But I have, like I say, I have a lot of other things to do, and I turn the volume up so I can hear it when I'm in other places in the house. And it's a delight. And it's an honor for me to have this radio station where I have so many hosts that aren't afraid to speak their truth. Because it's not my place to censor someone, because I don't understand exactly what they're saying. And it's interesting that I don't... The reason I listen is because I'm going to learn something that I didn't know or I didn't remember from before. And what can I say? It's fun being here. There's a lot of work involved here that people don't see. And that's okay. We have enough people believing in us as a radio station and understanding what we are working on doing that, even when we go, we're going to have a whole different thing to do on Rev Radio. We're going to be on, I guess, 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. I'm not sure of the days yet. We're going to be on Rev Radio Studio B Plus. We're going to be on Live 365. That brings a possibility of up to 3 million listeners.
Wow, that sounds cool. I used them 365 years ago. I think it's changed. 3 million years. Listen, we used to be about three. Even, you know, people were supposed to be browsing through the radios and randomly picking us up. Nobody ever came. Nobody ever listened. Anyway, long story. Other failures. You got to start somewhere, eh, Dave?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
And where do you start? With yourself.
That's right. So, back to the corridor.
How did I become aware of the corridor?
Well, yes, how did you become aware of the corridor? Did you do research about hypnosis and regressions? Did you do research? Actually, you're the kind of person that does research before he does anything, aren't you?
When I feel like it, yes.
Yeah.
But it started back when my youngest son was 12 years old, and he said, "Dad, what'd you do in Vietnam? What did you really do? Because at times, man, you're really screwed up."
Yeah.
And I had been having flashes of memories of me doing things that weren't what I thought I was doing. But by the same token, I had very conscious memories of being in the Navy, and also being in the Marine Corps at the same time. And then I found out later on that I was transferred to the Marine Corps for the convenience of the government in 1961. So obviously there was a clone of me that was being in the Navy at the same time. And I thought, that's interesting. That's the only way I can put it together to have the memories that I have. And then when I met a gentleman named John Morrow, who was Duncan O'Finian's handler, one of Duncan O'Finian's handler, a lot of it fell together. And then I realized that every day we have something called a possibility. Sometimes we have possibilities all day long. All we have to do is lift up your head from where you think you are and say, what happens if I step through that door? And people are so brainwashed and so afraid of looking at possibility that they can't see the door. They weep about, poor me, poor this, poor that. You know, it's sort of pathetic to me that people can't say, why can't I be what I want to be? Why can't I do what I want to do? And it's easy, folks. All you got to do is do it. Hang on, let me bring the were-terrier in the house.
So while Dave goes to get the were-terrier, yep. is like a kind of microscopic werewolf. It's a Jack Russell Terrier that thinks it's a wolf, because it grew up, that Dave has a whole bunch of wolves in his house and outside of the house and all over the place, and all kinds of dogs and wolves, and they all think they're wolves, and, you know, they're kind of being retrained back into the wild. I mean, you know, Jack Russell, imagine a wild version of a Jack Russell Terrier.
Actually, he's a Yorkshire Terrier.
He's a Yorkie, right? Okay.
My big wolf is in here now, my 150-pound buddy. Get in the back rub, because he needs it.
So, I mean, So, would you say that the dogs have been part of your reintegration process, because they're
absolutely,
not,
without a doubt in my mind.
They're not pushing you, they've not got a clipboard, they've not got a white coat. They're not going to torture you, you know. They're the other side. They represent safety.
Well, it's interesting because I understand and I comprehend the fact that I have a contract I made with each of these canines before this life cycle. And my job is to give them what I want. And it's returned at least 100 times over from each one of them. And I have 8 canines right now. And you've never had nothing until you had a 150-pound wolf take his nose and put your hand where he wants it. Huh? Isn't that right, Uma? And yet,
so,
they listen to the shows, believe it or not.
I bet. Do they like mine?
They love yours.
Yeah, I thought so. Hi, darlings. Oh, good boys. I mean, they're probably well used to my voice because, you know, they hear it on the jingles as well. It's like, oh, yeah,
that reminds me, we've got to make a lot of new jingles, too.
Have we? Oh, got work to do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me the scripts. Give me the MP3s. So, it's been part of your reintegration process to have something to love, something to care for, something to understand. How has that helped you care for, love, and understand your own fractured being?
It has made it infinitely easier. Because when I looked out one day and I watched this little wren fly into the dog food bowl and Herc was laying out there in the shade with the other four, and this little wren looked up and saw this gigantic wolf. He hopped out of there, hopped over right in front of him and looked up at him, and Herc looked down, and that little bird took his beak and touched his nose, and you could physically feel the love radiate from that wolf toward everything on this earth. He looked at me and said, "Now do you get the picture?" And I thought, oh my heavens, that is absolutely the prime example of unconditional love and acceptance. You can love someone but not accept them. When you totally accept that person for who they are, not for who you choose for them to be or who they think they are, but for who they are, that is unconditional love. And so many people can't grasp the fact that you have to love yourself before you can love anything else. And it's taken me a while to learn how to love myself, but I'm so grateful now that I can do that. When I look at my nephew and I say, "I love you," and he says, "I love you too, Dave." It is such a wonderful expression that your whole body glows, for lack of a better descriptive term. And this has been a growing, you know, getting older may be mandatory. Growing up is totally optional, but at least now I have a comprehension of things that I never had before. And I am grateful and thankful, and I'm blessed in those aspects of who I am today.
Hey, Dave, can I ask you a question regarding that energy? And this is just my sense of it when I experience it. Is that fulfilling for you?
Say again, Tony.
When you have that experience, and I absolutely identify with what you're communicating, is that the way I describe that energy as being fulfilling?
Absolutely. It gives you something that money you can't buy, you can't trade, you can't barter for. It's something that comes totally and completely from the inside of your heart. And it just fills your whole body, and it is the most incredible feeling. I got a 150-pound wolf laying behind me because he wants some cashews later. Yeah, Dr. New, I've had cats. I had a cat for 17 years named Pete. He was a gray tabby, And he was the most excellent judge of character I've ever seen. If someone came in the house he didn't know, he'd walk over and sniff. He'd look at them, and if he stayed there, they were okay. If he walked away, they were cordially invited to leave and never come back. And it's one of those things that I didn't know I had a contract with Pete. Now I understand that. And I was looking at some pictures last night of Merlo, who passed away in March. And I cried because I missed him. Then I realized I missed Taylor, and I miss Herc, and I miss Sassy, and I miss Buddy. But I know that they're okay because they've appeared to me and let me know they're okay. And they've all said the same thing. Thank you for being our selected human companion, because we could not have asked for a better companion. And when I was doing a Site K work with Will Spencer a few weeks ago, all my adult life and all my child life, I've never seen my mother and father ever hug each other genuinely. And when we got to the third thing we were working on, I sensed my dad was behind me. On the fourth one, my mother was behind me, standing beside my dad. On the fifth one, they hugged and kissed and both nodded yes, and then they went back. That to me was the greatest acknowledgement I could ever be, that I am here doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the way I'm supposed to be doing it, and don't make too many mistakes doing that.
So it sounds like that was a healing of the timelines. You know, something that brings it all together. Lovely. Lovely.
Now that you mention it, that may have been the way it was. All I know is all my life I always wanted to see my mother and dad being happy together. And I never experienced that until that brief moment in time when they were standing behind me in spirit form and I could sense them being there. Just... that to me was an affirmation that they truly did love each other. They just didn't know how to express it to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. This is... I'm crying, by the way.
I'm so sorry, Dave.
No. You know how wonderful it feels to be able to cry?
I know.
That is the most... one of the more freeing things that an adult male can do. And if men don't understand that, you're not a man.
Hi, Wolfie. What do you want, buddy? Huh? What's my big buddy want?
Yep. It's good to have a head, and it's good to have a heart. Very good to have a heart. Tony, tears.
I just, starting about 2 minutes ago, my body is in total truth tangles, goosebumps. I could feel the energy. And one of the things, as I've been listening here, is that what keeps coming up for me is just how powerful of a conduit Dave is that, for whatever reason, he came into this existence to be the conduit for this information, for this energy of transformation and ascension. And he is such a key figure in providing the platform that he provides so that all of us can bring forth this information. And when you kind of step back and look at the big picture, JP, you're one of those too, is that this is an amazing energy that is just becoming more and more powerful and clear. And I am humbled, absolutely, tackled damn near on a daily basis, and how I was brought into this through Dave, and how I get to participate in this. And sometimes I wonder if I don't express my gratitude for this opportunity enough. And what the only thing that I can sense that I can do is that be willing to participate as transparently and genuinely and honestly and powerfully as possible given this opportunity. And there are moments that I am, quite frankly, speechless as to what is happening in my life and other people's lives as the result of this energy that is being brought forth. I don't know about anybody else, but, and it would be interesting to listen to some other people's experience, but what I've been finding lately is that I am literally triggering people that I hardly know. I've had a couple of experiences since I got back from Mount Shasta of people just listening to what I live this stuff that we talk about. So whenever I'm with people, somehow it comes up in the conversation, the things that I have discovered. And I've been hesitant to share this until, and what I'm finding, more and more people experience, and that when I start talking about this stuff, that has not been happening lately, and I've had some astounding experiences. District court clerk, and we ended up talking on the phone for 40 minutes about this. The conversation started with a mere comment. She said something like to the effect that, good grief, it's already July, the end of July, time is speeding up. And I just started talking about what I have discovered. And she was in, she just kept listening. And as I went on, it was fascinating in her response at the end of the conversation that she said to me that it was honor, that it was an honor to have met me. And that, coming from a Seattle district court clerk, just it left me speechless. You know, and all I'm doing is sharing a little bit of information and what has been my journey and my discovery, and this person bent over backwards to assist me, change court dates, so forth and so on, and then she tells me it's an honor to have met me, and now she will be a listener on Wolf Spirit Radio. Amazing.
How cool is that? You know, we also get some little cards printed out, you know, just, you know, wallspiritradio.com.
I think that's a great idea.
Give 10 out. You know.
I have business cards I will send you, gentlemen.
Good, good. Excellent idea.
excuse me.
I have one thing to say. Oh, it doesn't happen.
Go ahead.
It only happens if I do this. How fun is that?
Thank you. We got to go on a break here in about 7 minutes, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dave, just to put the beam back on you, hopefully you've, the reintegration of the fractured personality is something that I feel the whole of humanity needs. On a global scale, the Earth has a fractured personality. And one of the things that has fractured the Earth is the recurrence of the reappearance of Planet X. And I believe that a lot of us are receiving, by being tuned into Earth Mind, a lot of the trauma and the catastrophobia, the fear that this thing's going to happen again, that has happened before. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever spoken about this, but I think the Earth is scared because this shit's going to happen again. And part of what we can do, and this is how what I was tuning into last night during the meditation, part of what we can do is bolster up Earth's morale so that it does build up this ability to deflect the incoming planet, which it can by radiating more gravity. It just needs to get itself, you know, spun up.
There's an interesting analogy between what's happening on Earth to the Earth caused when humans and their fracking, and what's happening to the human race per se by the corporate governments and schools and things.
Well, literally with pumping fluoride water into our bodies, you know, to extract, I mean, with the aim of extracting energy, right? It's all about extraction of energy. And what are they doing from us? They're pumping us full of fluoride water and extracting energy. That's the way, eh?
Absolutely.
So, restoring the fractured personality. What? How have you dealt with these things that they call triggers? Do you want to explain what triggers are?
What a trigger is this. It is a sound. It's numbers. It's music. It's can be virtually anything that they have programmed into that particular altar to bring it forth.
Oh no!
You're letting everyone sing. Wow.
Hey, beloved.
How you doing?
Slightly short of magnificent. A trigger is something that they can use. It can be a sound. It can be a picture. It can be a person. It can be a handshake. It can be a sign. It can be anything that a particular altar is programmed to come forth on. I have had people try to trigger me many times, and I'm always aware of it. The last time I remember being triggered was when I was with Duncan O'Finian down in St. Thomas
Lake
Island.
Island. All right. That's a very interesting story. This is the one about the bar.
Well, I was getting ready to get into the shower, and I said, "What day is it?"
All right.
And Dunk said, "Well, it's Thursday." I said, "I was fixing to do this Tuesday night. Where have we been for 48 hours? And I got this incredulous look. He said, "Let's go ask the bartender." So I got dressed and went downstairs and said, "Where have we been for the last 2 days? He looked at us and smiled and said, "I don't know, but you guys ain't been here." He said, "And your room hasn't been touched."
We'll be back after the break. Don't go away. We've got more exciting people. We've got Mr. William Stillings, Chrononaut. Where have you been? When have you been, Mr. Stillings? We'll have to wait till after the break. You're listening to Nation Radio. Thank you very much for joining me, Jebri. I'm having such a weird time tonight. I can feel time wobble. I don't know if Skype was doing it, but the kind of jingle, it kind of slows down and speeds up. It's very bizarre. And so perhaps there are ripples in space-time around our new guest. His name is William Stillings, sometimes known as Brett. And actually, I can't tell you the sort of words that the sort of name I give him. But anyway, hey Brett, how you doing, mate? Been a long time.
Good. Well, I haven't talked to you in quite a bit. Lingering back here in the background.
That's right. And have you been flitting from place to place?
Well, I sort of. I quit smoking on my fifth day now, so I think technically that counts.
Oh, my God, you're going through a consciousness transformation.
Yeah, God, yeah. I did one of those typical high school adolescent things, and I turned a corner too fast and knew I was going to hit the corner of the wall, and didn't, but I felt a little tug. And I guess I'm spiritually elevating a little, I would have to say.
A little bit of enlightenment. So, I mean, do you actually feel lighter? Do you feel like...
Actually, yeah, when you're spiritually elevated, you're not weighed down, hence the phrase, and, you know, you're self-supporting to the point to where you're spiritually lifted up, and physically, and, I have a lot more mobility. It's just how we are. I mean, we evolve to a point to where we can willfully teleport, and that's actually been explained by a few encounters that people have had historically have reported that that's what Greys have explained to them and taught them, and that's very all too true. And that was one of the things that I practiced when I was teleporting when I was 10 years old. When I got my first example, that was rush hour into every practice and every day, or try to. It was a lot of assisted help, but a lot of needed assisted help.
So a bit of training from the elder brothers and sisters, and brought you to a level where you could do without the machine. So how does that work? I mean, what the certain kinds of discipline that you've been trained
in. Yeah, yeah.
What does that entail? You can talk about that, can't you?
Sort of. You don't enjoy the body. You don't spend very much time in the body. One of the useful tools to get out of that is when the body's in pain, you mentally and emotionally and spiritually don't spend much time in it. If you understand that.
Yeah.
That's a conditioning, and that is, that kind of goes hand in hand with the practice. But, you know, it's, the body's useful for when not doing spiritual things or those things.
Wow.
And
if anybody can get that attitude, that's a very interesting way of looking at things.
Give you an example of when I was going, when basically in late adolescence, teleporting to the moon from sea level, your second breath, you'll basically land down, and if you teleport from sea level, probably about 20 minutes later, you'd probably die due to the bug. And, you know, when you get there, you realize that the moon feels more cool and cool, moist, damp. Water is kept around the moon to keep the dust level down. No joke. that's just common practice. There is moisture on the moon. There's there are 30-foot tall people walking around, small people and medium-sized people stay in their locations, smaller people stay in theirs, otherwise literally get stepped on or run over.
Are there highways?
No, but there's ground vehicles that are very large and, you know, for us, very large. And I'm telling you, there are 30-foot tall, 38-foot tall humans and humanoid types that walk around. There's a lot smaller. There's grays are still, you know, back in the 80s were still very protective of people going to the moon. You know, you can't be here. And, not one thing I really ever like bringing up. You know how the shills like goof on that. Have you ever been to the moon? An accident.
It's like, oh, who's been to the moon? Oh, guys in these kind of spacesuits, right? But anybody's... is it more like... Have you seen Iron Sky?
You need one for that, that's for sure. Quite a bit.
Sorry, Will, you broke up. Have you seen Iron Sky?
Is that the Tom Cruise one?
I don't think so. No, that's Vanilla Sky. It's the Nazis on the moon, on the backside of the moon.
I've seen maybe part of it. I haven't seen too much of it.
It's a comedy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
Yeah, that's probably where they put the most real information would probably be in that comedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Made by the Finns. And basically they got these, it's all iron, you know, everything, you know, massive iron things. And they're riding around on the same kind of motorcycle that they cycled used in 1946. But they've got these massive kind of iron spaceships that got them to and from the moon and that they were coming back to destroy the Earth with. But anyway, Nazi jokes aside, but the idea was that in these craters there was atmosphere and they didn't wear helmets.
Yeah, I'm sure after
Have we lost Will or have we lost everybody? Have I lost Rick?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, there you are.
No, I mean, you teleport from sea level to the moon or to there, and you know after one or 2 days, I'm sure you can acclimate. But you do that from sea level, and you're going to be on the ground. And imagine an 18, 19, 20-year-old on the ground, laying down, not knowing if you're not going to pass out, and. I got three or four or five breaths in, and, to where I still wasn't sure if I was going to pass out. And you might say caught a quick ride back, I gave a very exclusive show to you, JP, on your show, so I'm not going to reiterate. We're going to leave it there. Or do I mention it here? I can mention
still
it here.
Show.
Show? Buddy, you got so many. I don't know. I mean, who the F syndicated? But, you take the flask gun, you put yourself in the field, you pressurize it and add oxygen and, enough to get to a location, and get back. And, you tell the device where you're going. It's, It's scary. The moon is a scary place. It very much can be. Yeah, it very much can be. I mean, it's, people don't know how good they have it on Earth. They really don't. Which is fine with me, all the better that they don't, but always, you know, my approach is very important that they know that there's a lot of good things out there too, and as desolate or kind of deserty that Mars is, and inductively heated and humid, but not as warm as the humid should be, or the humidity should be, and as chemical smelling, and, you know, like being at 12,000 foot altitude, you know, it's great. The people, you know, we take cans of baked beans. We would take, you know, you have to be a vegetarian to live on Mars, otherwise you're considered prey. But we take baked beans, we take vegetables. One lady I knew that was way older than me, she's like 35, 38 or so. She would take tomatoes, vegetables, potatoes, she would make a casserole. And literally, she brought it in a brand new clean stainless steel garbage can, not stainless steel, but the steel pressed garbage can, and you know had it in one of those when they just came out with those white little garbage can garbage liner. You know, like the thing, and the whole pastel was in there, and it was to keep the liquid in, and she teleport right up there and feed hundreds of people. You know, and these were 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch tall, and half foot tall humans. This, if it weren't for the height, you wouldn't be able to distinguish them from any other person, or from a person, I should say.
It sounds fantastic on all levels. And
yeah,
it sounds beautiful. Because, I mean, here's the thing. There is something that has been called the breakaway civilization. The rest of humanity doesn't know about the stuff that you have been inside.
No.
People have no idea. And they watch TV shows like Fringe. I've been watching Fringe, man. I really get it. And seeing that is how the breakaway civilization lives all the day. In alternate universe, round vehicle, rotators and oscillators and all of these things that are, how do I put this, alien? To the rest of the race, and yet you're human and your brothers and sisters, and you know we jest around, and but I feel love for you, and I do presume that all that swearing that you do at me is like an expression of your love for me, and you know
I don't get,
that was just, you just really do hate me.
No. Absolutely love you. I don't get really comfortable with somebody unless I can feel comfortable cussing and not restraining how I feel.
That's good. You can.
If I restrain how I feel, I'm not being honest.
Yeah, that's.
And a function, you know, I only cuss at you when I try to help you on the computer with computer issues. Is that the only time I ever go off?
I still love you. It's okay.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I've been going through a hell of a time.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, like, we've all been going. You know, I have to say, I think everybody I know has been going through a hell of a time. We've all been going through a hell of a time. Each in our own individual way, our own individual little packet of bird's eye frozen hell. Just because it was ready to be microwaved and unzipped.
Bird's eye frozen hell. I love that.
Tony! Tend to us, man.
That's too good. I'll never buy bird's eye again.
Shouldn't. They're evil. Anything that has an advert has to be evil. I have been growing potatoes and lettuces, and they are exquisite. I had my first potatoes. I dug them up yesterday, and I served them.
No,
they are heaven. This is heaven. I'm in heaven. So screw you, everybody. Bye-bye. It's great. I will condescend down once a week
JP,
to speak with you.
Really I agree.
Oh, good.
They have to be way different than store bought.
They have a flavor. They're not just like things in your mouth that kind of squash when your tongue pushes them. It's like, it's got life. You know, they were in the ground half a day ago. And, oh, somebody beat. And it's the most revolutionary thing that I think I can do. Is to figure out, and I was talking about this, tonight with a friend of my son's, and we were, saying, you know, I'd like to be able to live such that if there was a power cut that never came back on, would I be able to survive? And, you know, I think I've been here about 6 months. And I think I'm almost in that position, to be able to kind of live off the grid. Obviously, I wouldn't see you guys anymore. I'd say bye-bye. It would be sad, but I'd then come to you telepathically, and then William will appear in the living room saying, have you got a glass of water?
With that, I would do. And the way things are going, I'm probably going to look like the end result of Paul McCartney in the car accident.
I haven't quite refined the steering wheel yet.
No. I think worst case scenario is that I'd just give you a smile that looks eerily and creepily like Jimmy Savile. That would be disturbing.
Anyway, that's the sound that he used to make. He's the, how's about that then, guys and girls? Uh-huh. Very creepy indeed. Meanwhile, so that's absolutely fascinating, Will. And so here we are, you know, Dave has, you know, been part of this, the whole projects and everything, and Will, you've been involved in some of the other kind of projects with technologies and toys and devices and you know real what's that MIB stuff?
Well, teleporting, doing the TT time travel stuff and. Planetary stuff, working on my own vehicle platforms, running, dancing naked in front of congressmen, senators, and future presidents. Stood naked in front of a wooden owl, but I have glimpses of that and just don't freaking remember it. And I know it was a separate event. I know it was, and I was younger. I was like 16, 17. Hello?
This is certainly 80s, yeah?
It went quiet.
Yeah, well, you were talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, he's going off. He's going off. Mute him.
Pity, you know, you can't mute people on Skype. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
But, so... Yeah, so, well, you know, I keep thinking that I was just this bloke who born in the East End of London and la 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 la. And Tony, where are you? Are you kind of, have you had exposure to this MK Project thing in your life, or did you come through like as a medical? How did you get here, mate?
For me, the process was more through education, and about 8 years ago, I was put on disability. I ended up having a lot of time on my hands, and I'm a very curious person. And one of the things that really interested me was the UFO phenomena. And I'd done some research back when I was in high school, and it was absolutely clear to me that they are real. They've been around for a very long time, and this is back in the 70s. I didn't have a whole lot of information in the school library to go to, but what I did find, it just was abundantly clear that this stuff is real. And I just kind of forgot about it after that. And when I got put on disability, that was one of the things that I started looking into, and I just kind of went where the information took me. And I've talked about this before, emotional spirit quest, but what was really interesting is that there were certain aspects that kept showing up over and over again regarding the UFO phenomena. And that was deep black military projects, studies in consciousness and intention, which is part of the deep black military projects, and MK Ultra, Project Monarch. And then also, because the way my curiosity kind of works, at the same time, I was also looking into forbidden archaeology. And that was rather astonishing in the amount of information and material that has been sequestered from archaeological discoveries and basically hidden or denied. And that, for any listener, I highly encourage you to go to YouTube and look up forbidden archaeology. That is an amazing subject. And then there were other things. I ended up really looking into secret societies and also mystery schools. And one of the first axioms or laws of mystery schools is know thyself. And that process, and it was a process for me that started really questioning after looking into these other subjects, realizing how much I've been lied to. Most of the information I've been told, although through malevolent intentions, say for instance, the belief systems given to me by my parents, realizing, and this was simply going through the Bashar material, how all these belief systems get installed in us, and they're not really our own beliefs. They're just simply something that was passed to us. And
it's basically a training. It's basically a training of how to put up with the they know what's coming garbage and disappointments in life.
Right. So what that ended up for me happening is calling into question everything I've been educated about, also some other aspects of this that were revealed to me, is that looking at just how damaging and subvertive television is. And I ended up turning off my TV 4 years ago, and this segues into a question that was put in our Skype chat where Turtle is asking, and I have friends who have nightmares and seeing themselves die from beings and rocks falling from the sky. What do I do to calm them? Many scared to live their lives. And here's the first question to ask them. What are they dwelling on? Having nightmares is a reflection or a manifestation of the consciousness that you're dwelling in. So it begs a bigger question. What are you allowing into your consciousness? And I cannot I'm begging people to turn your TV off, and here's why.
Yeah.
Is that television is broadcast at a certain frequency of flicker rate. And here's what is interesting. What was the first television broadcast? Anybody know?
Nazi Germany.
Yes, the Olympics. In 1938.
You're right.
So what is interesting about the flicker rate of television, and it's become even more powerful since it's become digital, is that that flicker rate is exactly the flicker rate that is required for hypnosis. They could have gone up one frequency or down one frequency, and it wouldn't be hypnotizing. Isn't it?
Well, the French had it right. They went on at 50 hertz.
Right.
To some degree. Well, I mean, really, they did. Can I stop you right there?
Sure. Absolutely.
I have a point to make. Tony, for one,
yep.
You have a sexy voice. If I were gay, I'd be on top of you.
I guess I should just say thank you.
The next thing is the topic you brought up is just so freaking great. I'll tell you, when I build round vehicles or gravity lenses, or especially the emitter assembly for round vehicles, for propagating or for propagating for put the gravity wave through TV sets, yes, old CRT cathode ray tubes. George Norrie kind of left the TV tubes, and I said, yes, very simply, I can explain it to you. He said, how? I said, capacitance is a field. And then he went, huh, oh my. I said, that's right. Capacitance is a field. When we would have a round vehicle, we propagate gravity through the TV set. We would keep the TV on and pipe in some good things instead of garbage. This was growing up. One of the things I learned how to do with a TV set was actually we taught Sam, a childhood gray I grew up with, how to pick up the TV tube without damaging the electron tube in the back. Well, he picked up a flash gun, or he had a flash gun, he picked up the TV and lifted it and held it in the air and then put it on the table. And my dad said, we'll see if it still works. He said, it'll work. And my dad said, it might not. And my dad plugged it in, turned it on, and it didn't work. Sam had bent the electron tube in the back. So what we did is we learned how to go through the front of the TV set and then out to the sides and pick it up through the glass. One of the things about that I learned about running a gravity generator is that it will discharge ammunition. It'll oscillate the mercury in the primer, element 80, a rotor oscillator, which is why the original reason that we sent out in the 80s was, might as well not use guns. They'll be completely useless because the ammunition will have already discharged in the presence of a lot of round vehicles. Understand? Up and coming. The reason why they want to get the 22 ammunition out of people's hands is because 22 ammunition in the primers does not have mercury. And any that shoot is potentially lethal bullet. Do not use or hold a gun, ammunition, and, in the presence of grays around vehicles to show up. For one, the grays are probably there to love you, give you a hug, and show you a better life. And if a round vehicle is present and the grays aren't being overly considerate, the ammunition could discharge. There have been reports of that, and if you go back to the 50s and 60s, you'll see that that was a common thing. Just as when round vehicles used to hover over houses, the lights used to go out. Round vehicles, gravity generators, over unity devices will inductively draw free electrons. Which will also, when we teleported, we would get brutally thirsty because the hydrogen in our bodies would be returned to a time domain. So when you teleported to Mars, you'd be very thirsty, and quite a few times I was very tempted to cut the trip short just to get back to the water fountain. No joke. The more you teleport with, the easier it is on you. We used to take a bottle of sacrificial water, and when you teleported, before you even broke the seal or opened the bottle, didn't exactly have seals back in those days. But when you, before you even opened the bottle, a quarter of the water would be gone. So I just wanted to give affirmation to what you said about the TV set, and I myself have not watched TV. Yeah, just a few shows recently, and the occasional. I have the, oh, when I'd run the gravity generator, I would set the computer display. Most of it was EM hardened, and I would set the computer display to 75 hertz. The screen would not blink out at 75 hertz in the presence of the gravity generator. If the TV was hardened well enough, it got off, and even got a laptop to be within 10 feet and did not inductively drain. It did inductively drain at 5 feet. Still figuring that one out. I covered the USB ports. I chanted. I even threw gay sexual references and prayer to Barry Satoru. And still trying to figure
that didn't
it
work
out. That didn't work. It's like, could you give me an answer why, please?
What did you say that it, if you were really close to it, it did, it was okay, but if it was 5 feet away, it didn't, and then if it was 10 feet away, it did again?
No, no, it didn't do it at 10 feet, whereas it really should have, and doesn't really make a difference, but moved it 5 feet closer, and it shut off.
Ripple?
Yeah.
Could it be a big, it's like a big ripple, like, I can't.
Exactly. I might have hit something on that low sine wave or something. Very good point.
Yeah, it's like you know, when you play a bass guitar, if you stand right next to the amp, you can't hear it. You have to stand about 10 feet away because the wave hasn't even had a chance to form because it's longer than the you know.
I have a possible solution. Was I had a neodymium glass front on the front of the laptop. And it did surround the side and top of it, but it didn't surround the bottom, and that's probably where it fell short.
That's where all the business is, in the bottom, isn't it?
Well,
and you got big, cooling as well. So
I have no funding. You are not going to critique and nitpick at me today, sir.
You have no funding.
I will not tell you about Nancy Naked in front of George until the last. If you do.
Sorry, hello. Sorry, well, you know that thing that you said that you cured with your router?
My router, yeah, I'm on the other PC right now.
I see, this is the one that still, okay. But anyway, you're still getting that, every like 5 minutes you get that. Whenever, it's amazingly timed because it's whenever you say something really, really, oh wow.
It was it does that on this one. I came up with a really good solution. I wrote it in the script to keep the wireless router or the wireless card active the whole time. It doesn't pause or shut down for a bit, and found a very clever way to do that. And it took a little bit of work, but this isn't that PC, and this will cut out every 10 minutes or whatever, or 5 minutes.
That's right. So,
Tony, finish what you were saying about the TVs.
About my awakening and how that kind of transpired over a number of years. Doing a lot of this esoteric, if you will, research, and having a lot of time on my hands. I was literally doing this 10, 12 hours every single day, and I did that for 7 years. And I have to tell you that the one thing that absolutely shattered my reality was, I fly radio controlled sailplanes, and I had seen these very, very long contrails through the sky back in the late 90s. And I've been around aviation all my life. My dad was a corporate pilot. He began his aviation career actually in the Air Force. I was born at Mountain Home Air Force Base, Idaho. He was in the Strategic Air Command. And So I've always had this, for whatever reason, this love affair with aviation. And it's astonishing to me still to this day that I'm seeing this phenomena occurring in the sky, and I didn't question it at that point back in the late 90s. And yet here's a guy who's been around aviation all his life, and I should have known the first time I saw it, there is something wrong with this picture. That's not a contrail. But when I was probably about 3 years into my research and chemtrails kept showing up in the periphery of these other subjects, I started digging into that. And I was seeing the information, but I simply could not accept that there, one, are psychopaths doing the scientific endeavors on this planet. And
I worked
two,
on a few round vehicles. I've worked on a few platforms on round vehicles dispersing or helping with the program of chemtrails in the early 90s.
Interesting.
So, Will, were you told anything? I mean, excuse me, Tony, but this is an important piece of information. Were you told what you were doing?
Or, no.
You know, obviously, you know, you're told what to do, right? But you're never told, you know, this is for this, that's for that, or anything like that?
Yeah, this goes here and this goes out. And, you know, this is what I pieced together, or not really pieced together, but this is what just kind of I came to realize in mid 2000. And that's just, you know, we knew we were doing something, you know, a couple times, you know, we're laying it down, over here for this, and but you know, we don't know, and I'm like, right, not asking, you know, and so, you know, and very strangely, we would have to use a forklift on the round vehicle, and they had you know, one part of the craft where the engineers were and where I was, the inside of the round vehicle looked much different than the inner part of it. And the inner part was very mellow and congenial, and where the engineers were, it was very harsher. It was more solid floor. You know, the floor beneath you would kind of mesh a little bit to your foot. And when you walked, and you would tell the floor to firm up or something, like harder. And, you know, you would walk, and the floor where the engineers were, it was just solid. You see? I mean, there was different.
Yeah, so it responds to your request of how hard you want the floor, but the engineers require solidity and gravity.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's the manifestation of the consciousness.
Yeah, which is
right.
Gravity,
the engineers are very scientific, very, this is the box that this information exists in. So that's where you get that manifestation of consciousness, that with the scientists in this certain area, it is very exacting, very precise. However, where you were, being more of a spiritual being, there is this ebb and flow of the energy. Yeah, you're aware of the consciousness, but it's much more malleable.
Yeah. I was, you know, making the vehicle or the ship feel better, and I was kind of enjoying the floor. You know, you could curl your toes into the floor and push. You could have I put aside a little section, a little square on the craft to where I could put my belongings. You know, I had money in coins, and you know, I told the ship, I put it here, don't touch. These don't go, you know, disappear.
And, you know, because when you go in a round vehicle, you might have some metal on you or something and it might disappear. You might not have it when you leave. And
are they like little fingers then?
Well, the vehicle might take it if it needs it.
The vehicle will steal money and coins and pieces of metal from your body, from your purse.
Yeah, if it needs it.
What if you got an implant? Would it take it out of your body?
Oh.
Or just steal it from your trousers?
We're fine. Jay, we don't go there. The button on your clothes would stay. It's just on Mars that disappears. You know, you get some inconsiderates and stuff that, you know, you say, do you say, all right, sorry. Can I put it back? Sorry. You know, if they already, if they integrated it and, I would, we'll have to have a special, let's get naked show. All right, we're going to have
to. A hot tub show.
We're going to have to pretend like there's lots of blonde chicks and stuff.
I'll see what I can arrange.
As long as they haven't been Jimmy Savile-fied, we should do good.
I was going to say, I'll ask Jimmy, my procurer.
That entity needs to be flushed from the consciousness.
No, that does. It's disturbing. I still try to purge that crap out. That's why I don't allow people to talk negative stuff like that. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And it's so hard. The one thing I will glom onto is the completely twisted humor of it. That's, the guy set up a trailer up on a preschool or something, didn't he?
Yeah, everywhere. In mental prisons. Right?
Yep. Like, stay there for years?
Children's homes.
Yes.
Disabled children's homes. Mortuaries.
Is that not the most morbid crap you've ever heard?
Well, what surprises me is there any one of him?
Oh
really?
My God. Well.
Really?
What are they going to be in there?
I mean,
I think actually what is more disturbing about the whole Jimmy Savile story is how much the BBC and other people protected the secrets.
He terrorized everybody with blackmail.
Yes.
Emotional blackmail. Oh, yep. you don't want to shut me. Think of old children.
That's all about Jimmy.
Meanwhile,
all right, next topic.
Back on hostile planets in our solar system.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to get William's take on this whole Planet X phenomena.
Oh, pretty easy. That's a no-brainer. The bismuth planet. Most of the technology around that solar system is powered by bismuth, element 83. I call it the bismuth planet. Right now in our solar system, we have 4 stars. Not mainstream science, 1 star. We have 4 stars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Sol, and now Nibiru. Saturn is a sun, even proven in mainstream science standards that Saturn puts out more energy than it receives, therefore is a sun. La, 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 la. Oh. Wait a minute. I'm having a Jimmy Savile moment. What did you do?
What?
I knew I saw some ridiculous kook like in the early 90s. That was like that. Me and a few others like and mimic, and I wonder if it was that douchebag. Oh, good God! He died, didn't he? Thank God.
Savile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died.
Wasn't it last December or something about that, and then all the stuff came out afterwards?
Yeah. He terrorized everybody. They were terrified of him.
Yep.
Because he got in with the most powerful, discovering that he could supply them with what he could supply them with. He wheedled his way all the way. That is a real example of a first ray. I have to say, that's a first ray activity. Just getting to the very, very top and having complete control. He had a vast amount of control due to what he knew and due to what he apparently did above the board and also what he did under the board. And a lot of people supported him because they also had the same predilection. And it's really scary to find out how many people are protecting him because of that predilection. Yeah. I'll get off my...
What do you have on the queen?
Oh, I don't know.
A bunch of African males underage or something?
Lots of skeletons come get uncovered, don't they?
Yeah, and
This is the realm of the psychopath, and we keep trying to wrap our mind around what we're discovering, and you can't because it's not the same consciousness. So you cannot understand this realm of the psychopath. We can kind of
see
what they're doing.
I can't understand. I can't make a ninja without getting catching crap, but they let him park a motorhome on like an all girls school for like 3 years. Are you serious?
Yep.
And that's not exaggerating.
No, as I said, children's homes. There's a children's home in Jersey that was connected with the Prime Minister at the time, Edward Heath, and he was like, oh. Edward Heath, he's a confirmed bachelor. Yeah, yes. And he was mean and gay, and they would take boys out from this children's home onto the boat, and they would do what they did to them, and then over the side. And the English Channel will have a whole bunch of bodies at the bottom there in various states fish food, and that's what they were like. And there's so much under this that we find that it's completely pervasive all over the network of control, because that's how people are blackmailed, because these things are filmed. So, it's sicker and sicker and sicker, isn't it, Bill?
I think that Jimmy Savile then left a tell-all after he went. Are you sure that Jimmy Savile died?
Certainly hope he has. So there's a lot of that that goes on, isn't there? A lot of
what did he die of? What, lack of a little kid?
Could be. So let us get back to this whole Planet X thing, and this is the reason why I'm bringing us back to this, is that one of the things that was not mentioned in your previous show, JP, and this is just my sense of what this planet is about, is that all the dark cards, all the cards are getting out on the table. And isn't it going to be interesting what is going to happen when this thing shows up, because of what it's going to reveal about our governments and these powerful people and what they have not told us. All of a sudden this thing appears and they start doing what they're doing, going into their underground bases, so forth and so on. I don't know how this is going to play out. But what will be revealed is how deceptive, outright lying our government and these people in positions of power have been, and that is going to, in my estimation, be very beneficial for humanity to see that truth.
By then, it may be irrelevant, but on the other hand, and I think this is what I hope for this whole thing, is we dodged the bullet by ascending. This is the whole thing. It's like by becoming enormously powerful beings, able to deflect a planet by connecting in with the planet that we're on and activating her to do it, which she can. Earth is a gravity generator, isn't it, Will?
Yes, it is.
So if Earth was activated, amps of some increase its gravitational wave output, any planets could be deflected, couldn't they? Like Planet X or Nibiru or what?
Well, yeah, Earth is a gravity generator receiver, and the sun is the main source of energy. Earth is hollow, has a sun of 800 kilometer center. That's the sun, the iron crystalline sun. And Nibiru, in any gravity generator, you have to have at least 12, 22, 32 in reflection of a geometrically stable element or proton, the proton position at energy level, and 32 electrons in 4 shell. And Nibiru comes by to facilitate, when the Lord put one thing in motion, he started, everything went. So at any given, eventually at a given time, all the rollers on that gravity generator, the planets will line up as exactly they were, where they were when the motor was first started. You know, we can guess that every 5,125 years times 5, or a sine wave, put a helicoil, a three-dimensional sine wave through the Earth, and you can find the 5 hot spots. You know, that would typically be off of Florida, a couple places in Russia, off the coast of Japan, and Australia.
Hey, we're out of time on Revolution Radio.
No!
But, Dave, are you there?
Betcha.
Join us on Wolf Spirit Radio, eh? Can we continue this?
You betcha.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you very much. Tune in to Wolf Spirit Radio if you want to continue this conversation with William Stillings, Tony Paschek, Dave Corso, and myself, JP. And we'll be back just drop this call. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later. See you next week. Right. Okay, so now we are.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well,
was that a good show?
That was excellent. Well done. Thank you very much, Will.
At the end, I want to say, oh my God, they're having a little girl sale at Jimmy Savile garage sale.
Oh God.
But we are still on the air on Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh shit, are we?
But you can say oh shit. That's all right. So,
oh, nice. What about the F-bomb?
Dave?
That's up to Dave.
You.
You're a sovereign being.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, we were having a good talk on the other hour, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to elements. We got to teleporting, time travel. Round vehicles, chemtrail dispersion through the other program on round vehicle platforms, ended in Nibiru, that the Earth is hollow, the Earth is a gravity generator receiver. One of the things when teleporting to Mars, you notice that you're inductively heated and also consciously disconnected from Earth. There's a consciousness here. And Nibiru is the bismuth planet, as I call it. It's a main society, its main source of technology is based on the element bismuth. We have 4 stars, solar system. We have Jupiter, Saturn, Saturn, and now Nibiru, which is 4. We have The Queen is Corrupt, says Prince Philip. We covered actually a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we have. The pedophile network that underlies the entire Freemason network and how they control it. Actually, I was asking, we should send a vast amount of love to the Kellogg School in Chicago, because that's really, that's the archive there. That's where all the blackmail tapes live. If anybody wants to remote view that, that might be an interesting thing to remote view. Anyway, where are we?
Hey, JP, can we have William? William, your mic is a little bit hot, and you're cutting in and out because of that. Can you turn down your mic? You got to go into tools and options.
Yeah. He cuts out because of his there's a thing on his router.
We're
always talking about this. It's a conversation piece. It's a bit like, you know, how was your connection today? Well, it's all right. So, brothers and sisters, here we are. We are still on journeys with JP and Dave Corso and Tony Paschek and William Stillings. And we were sort of covering the cosmos, ending up in the current topic of Planet X. And earlier on, I want to address this because, we have a chat room member, Turtle, in the Wolf Spirit chat room. And she's a really gentle soul. Really, really gentle. I can sense her delicacy, she reminds me of almost like Tinkerbell, you know, like a fragile, tiny person.
What an excellent description!
This is the feeling, so. She's really tuning. So she's tuning in with her friends, who are connected with the Jinnu and Dogmen. Now, is Jinnu Sasquatch, or is that's a different thing? There's a
that is a Sasquatch. The Jinnu tribe of Sasquatch.
Right. The Jinnu tribe is a tribe of Sasquatch.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So. And they are getting messages, or they're having nightmares and they're having dreams. It's not these people watching TV. This is some of the what do you call it, cryptozoology of the planet.
JP, remember a couple radio shows I told you that it was going to turn into a stone throwing war because the technology was going to be taken away, and those that half round vehicles and stuff are going to try and throw stones in certain cities. That Mars was very much like that. The Vanity War was very much based on that. That the Greys took the technology away. So basically, meteors and asteroids were used to pelt the planet on the other person's city, and that was 11,000 years ago, 9,000 BC. The rock that was thrown was the one that made Meek Crater. Meek Crater is the one where the U.S. Embassy is on Mars. It's just to the east of Viking Lander 2. Remember?
So, do I remember? I don't remember that personally happening, but you did tell me about that, though.
Yes.
See, here's another thing that just came in my consciousness, is that far too often we take dreams literally. That is not what it's telling us. It's all coded. So there's an analogy or an interpretation that needs to be done of the dream, is that, and I need to go back to what she said about the dreams, is that having nightmares, seeing themselves die from beings and rocks falling from the sky. So instead of doing a literal interpretation of the dream, is that what is the energy embodying? What is it trying to tell us?
I think I have it. And okay. I think it's connected with what I was experiencing last night during Frank's meditation. And it's a really weird thing to talk about, but here we are. Okay, so I tune into the planetary consciousness, and I tune into the idea that perhaps the planet herself is scared of stuff's going to happen. That it's, she has a very, very sensitive skin. She can feel all this stuff. Certainly something going by that is ripping up all the iron and pelting it down with rocks and stuff. She's going to be scared. I think the Earth is scared, and I think we need to comfort her. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I remember when I wrote about Fukushima disaster 4 years before it happened.
Yeah.
One of the timelines.
Interestingly enough, it just came back into the news cycle today.
Yeah. December 3rd, 2013, San Onofre suffers an accident. It is not known the extent of the, they said the style reactor 2 type 2 reactor, blah, blah, blah. It is not known the extent of any kind of release of radiation. The reactor has been shut down, and people in a 5-mile radius are being evacuated from the reactor as a precautionary measure. December 3rd, 2013. Reactor was to be started in November, and that was delayed again. A reactor was started November 30th, 2013 at 10:59 a.m. and went several days without a mishap. Later on down the road, one of the valves, which is kept in the room of the reactor where the breach occurred, hot steam had heated the valve to where the motor could not turn it, and subsequently a valve could not be opened, or I'm sorry, in this case could not be closed. And later on down the road, a year later, it's an unbelievable amount of radiation that is deliberately put in the wall. But anyway, we were asking about the stone throwing thing. Is that comes into play too? And I've been seeing a lot of that myself. And I shut the TV off quite a bit ago. Did watch the show last night, but that's hey. What can you say?
Thank you, Will.
Anyone? Well, was that a creepy Will moment?
That was a. What point on the timeline does that come from? And
that's on our current one. As best as I can assess it, it's current. You know, I don't have people to talk to or advisors, but from cause and effect over the last 30 years, that's a present current timeline, more solid than a lot of other ones.
All right. Could the valve be made to operate correctly?
I don't know. They have a big motor with an arm that's down over the wheel of the valve. The valve wheel sits horizontal, and it doesn't open or it doesn't close. And they have a pipe that is just spewing heat right in that general area. And it heats up the valve enough to where it physically will not turn. And that is, I mean, the valve is right next to the reactor. You have the reactor and from the view I'm looking at, it looks like there's two separate reactors in that thing and it's between them, but on the outside of it. So it would be like 20 feet away from it, but it's right near the catwalk. I mean, it's like right there at the catwalk, and that's what happens.
Hmm.
If you walk in, the valve is right in front of you, right to your right, if you're on the catwalk. And you're looking down, and the floor is about 30 to 50 feet down.
Right. Interesting.
So it...
What question can I ask about that?
There's
no questions. I just have to allow you to say more things. You know, that's all.
I just blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think it's necessary for us to step back and look at what is the lesson to be learned from the big picture. Maybe not necessarily really dwell on the details. And what I keep getting out of this is it is a tool to inject more fear into the consciousness of humanity. Because it disempowers us. We are master creators. And anytime we're in a state of fear, we're creating more fear energy. And that is the tool of these psychopaths.
That's why I tell you everything up front right away. So people can mull it through without any, mystery or crap. The most important picture of this is to shut off the reactors during the 2012 period on the motor. Reactors do become inherently unpredictable. That's why the U.S. government was urging us down the reactors, and that's why Fukushima, which kind of was a timeline event to take place, but that's why it was assisted to be disastrous. To give an example, that all the reactors during the 2012 period need to go off. That nuclear reaction, it just becomes overly unpredictable during the dead spot on the motor during the 2012 period, every 5,125 years. You know, times 5, 26,125. Mayan calendar, correct?
Right.
So,
right.
At other times, the pressure that holds everything together and normal and unreactive is there, but the pressure has been somehow released because all the rollers have lined up like we're in a lock.
Yeah.
And the pressure allows unpredictable things to happen.
Well, you start
that are moved by consciousness.
Yeah, and during the crossover section period, during the 2012 period, is that other dimensions open up and other realities, another presence of things come into being and come and go. And that includes neutrons, and that includes, the expected reaction and something else occurs. It's not a conspiracy, it's just what happens galactically on that motor. And, and the government, with all its research, knows all too well that those things are very, that pretty much not much can be done about that. The weather and stuff, sure. Chemtrails, some things can be done. Right now, I told people, unless they acted and not voted Satoru in, if they voted Satoru in, they're going to be stuck in chemtrails. And they're going to push the agenda because now chemtrails, some of them are actually shielding the Earth and holding that higher energy state ionization higher up in altitude to where it doesn't affect as much people on the ground. And that's just true now. Now people are pretty much stuck with some certain chemtrails. And since nobody can tell the freaking difference, now they're just going to run rampant. You see?
Yeah, and this is just from my research, what was revealed through my research, and I'm not saying that I have a corner on the truth. I certainly don't, but I thought it was pretty interesting, and that the chemtrails are, here's the thing about these psychopaths. They never do anything with a single purpose. It's always multifaceted. Always.
Oh yeah, and it sold to multiple departments and agencies at the same time.
Right. but one of the things that, that, and I cannot remember where I found this article, but it was, revealing in this, how it drew the conclusion that the chemtrails, yeah, we're being told that it's or some of the information is being put out that it's to protect the planet from these energies coming from the sun. But also it is being used to hold the planet from ascension.
That's right. Some of it. Yeah.
And
they're not too great at it, but yes, right, those intentions and those actions are there and were.
Right. And it's also to prevent, and the humanity and the planet are in fact actually one. There is no separation. And so it is also to prevent humanity from ascension, but energies coming into the solar system that are being beamed from the central sun is to assist this amazing, never before seen, apparently by the galactics, process that is supposed to manifest, and that the planet and her people who choose to will ascend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So they're doing their damnedest to prevent it, but for those of us who are awake and aware, we will go with the planet when she ascends.
Rest the world, go forward, get on the round vehicle, ascend or whatever. And if the government behaves, we may come back to pay taxes later. take the prime mover out.
That's attitude.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, but that's one of those things. And I God bless Alex Collier for asking this question. You know, why do you have to pay for a planet that you're born on? Money is the control and domination and debt mechanism. So abolishing money, there is absolutely no reason for money. And here's just one example of the wage inequality that just calls into question the whole subject of money and wages. Why is it that a corporate lawyer will get paid up to about, from what I've heard in the statistics, up to $5,000 an hour to do his job, whereas an EMT who has gone to medical school, emergency training, and is saving lives literally on the street at best can make $12 an hour.
Yeah. You want to vomit, you want to vomit again. It's absolutely ludicrous, disgusting, unbelievable.
Right, but here's the thing, is that all of us being a divine aspect of the Creator, God, all that is, however you want to put that, whatever belief system you exist in and follow, is that how is it that anybody's job is more important than another person's job if we are in fact all divine aspects of a greater whole? We are all needed. We are all necessary for this entire whole of creation. So no one person is more important than another person. We all have something to bring to the show, to the drama. And that is one of the things that I'm becoming more and more aware of as I live my life each day, is seeing and meeting the Creator through each other individual person.
Right.
And when we start embodying that knowing, because it's deep within each and every one of us, is that we are all manifestations of this Creator being.
Oh, yes.
And that no one person is more important than another person. Yet we have this illusion and this programming and hypnosis that makes us believe that. But this is this thing that is taught in the mystery schools, is that know thyself. And when you start going into yourself and really deeply understanding what's within you, and you start disassembling all these programs, all this hypnosis that's been installed in you, and they literally are programs that have been installed within us to disempower us, to make us unequal, to separate us. And that's the illusion, is that we're somehow separate when the fact is we are not separate. There is no exception.
Well, I can give a real world example of that. We have a person that's stalking my relatives next door that very much is, his whole being of existence is to try and break up families. No joke. I mean, yeah. That guy is creepy. I mean, he's literally the type of person that's selling kids out of school to other people. And, it's unbelievable. I mean, the whole persona, that guy is like seriously got pawned or something. But, yeah, real work of art, just really, really horrible. You know, the rumor spreaders, everything, just everything.
So this, how do you disempower that kind of energy? We disempower that by living in integrity, right?
I took the lazy way on that one. I told him, you know, if he formed one more word or moved his lips and expelled air, I'd have him in a FEMA camp by the end of the day. And I had the officer verify that to him. And I haven't seen him since. I had to prove it to him. No, he isn't.
Well, you stood in your power. That's integrity.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Integrity. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
At some point, we have to realize that we have the power to disempower these dark entities. Yeah. And we do that through integrity. We do that for standing up for ourselves and for others. If they're not capable of doing it for themselves. It's not that I'm representing the other, but I at least am trying to assist them.
That's right. A suggestion is, you know, and examples work. I mean, they work very well. And, one thing those type out there hate is the light. They will run into the shadows, and that's what they do. You know, they can't stand their own pain. And, just a real, horrible work of art. There was just, some other things, and I can't remember it, but horrible type people that really cannot stand up to good people. I mean, they just can't. They're the ones that try to spread rumor. I've, talked to quite a few people that lived around the location, and they literally, up in the middle of the night, moved to a hotel and sold their house and just moved into another place. It was that bad. And,
well, you know, that is another option, is that you simply remove yourself from the equation. And I've had that experience in my life, is that there are certain people who are objectionable to my consciousness. And guess what? I'm not around them. I choose to not be around that kind of conflict, that kind of, disharmony. And we can choose that. And for some of us in certain relationships, that may be extraordinarily difficult to actually enact, but you do have a choice.
Yeah. And forward I've gone and basically ignore the guy, and I don't listen to really anything that the guy does anymore. It's, I kind of just block it out still always. And, pretty easy that way.
Well, you know, this is kind of the lesson that we're learning right now, as spiritual beings with this consciousness embodied in this vehicle body is that we're, as the veil is thinning, and again, this is just very apparent to me in my experience, and how I can create really amazing results when I understand that I, as a sovereign being, I am the captain of my vessel and my consciousness. And I will give you one example of this that blew my mind when it happened, but it was still quite a profound experience, very powerful experience. I was coming back from Nia Bay, which is over here in Washington State, and I was bringing somebody with me, and I had to get them to where they were going so they could continue their journey in meeting their father to take care of some details, because their father is coming to the end of his journey, and there's some legal things and some things that need to be said before he ends his journey. So it was very important for them to make this journey. And what my job was is to assist them to get back to where they can go and continue on to their father's place to have that conversation. So what I was doing is being of service to somebody else. So I'm trying to get them to the ferry. I have to get to the ferry at a certain time or else it's the last ferry. So I realize what time it is, and I step on it because I'm afraid that we're going to be late. Probably 4 minutes later, blue lights. And I'm going, oh, man, this ain't going to be good. So I get pulled over, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm going, okay, I've had a very powerful spiritual day with this person. We know with each other we have some amazing power, the combination of the two of us. So as the officer is walking up to my vehicle, I'm thinking, okay, being a powerful being, this is going to be okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit intimidated, but it's going to be okay. And I get asked for my driver's license, vehicle registration, insurance, and I hand it to the officer, and he asked me why I'm going so fast that he had clocked me at 20 over. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And I said, I explained to him, this person needs to get to where they're going. I was afraid I was going to miss the last ferry. I'm sorry. I was going too fast. He disappears. So I'm sitting in my van, and this is at night, and I'm just thinking, okay, this is okay. The law of allowance. This is okay. And I look out of my van, and there's all these moths flying around on this highway next to my van. And I'm going, okay, I need a little bit of fairy energy here to transmute this situation. And about 10 minutes later, he comes back up, and this is what he said. He said, start earlier, slow down. And he walked away.
Wow.
20 over. They never, ever let you go.
You're 20 miles an hour over, you're subject to arrest.
Right. So he didn't even write me a warning. All he said was start earlier, slow down.
Wow.
And as we're driving off, I'm looking at the person next to me, and they look at me, and they said, because we had some very profound experiences that day, and we had asked for a confirmation about these experiences, and they said, there's your confirmation.
Wow.
This is what I've been trying to get across to people, is that I have stepped into the realm of the magical and the mysterious, and it has been quite a ride. And the thing is that we think reality is this solid thing around us. And the fact is that it's quite malleable, quite mutable, and we do have control over it as master creators.
We are co-creators, and yes, there's a lot out there, a lot we can do. It's a lot more available than people realize, and that's the best thing possible.
Yes, absolutely. And with this veil thinning, this is the thing that I think is really important for us to understand. As this veil thins, we are given more creative energy, shall we say? The illusion is breaking apart. The illusion of limitation and separation is breaking apart.
Yeah.
And it has been an illusion. It's been programming and hypnosis.
And trauma.
Yeah, well, that's part of the programming, is through trauma. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Well, develop. You need something to push against. You need a little resistance to be able to show it what it is you're doing to yourself. You know, it's there's no resistance. You don't get any light bounced back.
Well, and the resistance is, this is just my sense of that kind of energy. The resistance,
yes.
It solidifies the lesson to be learned. If there was no resistance, there would be nothing to be learned from the lesson that's showing up. And the universe and literally the multiverse is a mirror. What we put out, we get back. That's the way this works.
Okay.
And this is as master creator beings, this is the lesson that we just can't see that's right in front of our nose. But because of the programming hypnosis and the steering of our consciousness, is that sometimes it's extraordinarily difficult to see through our belief systems, the programming and the hypnosis of the lesson that literally keeps showing up in our life over and over and over again. Most of us have had that experience, right? And this is the part that's kind of funny, is that we can't see it in ourselves, but yet we stand in judgment of the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the friends around us, and that friend keeps manifesting the girlfriend that cheats on him, or the woman keeps manifesting the guy who treats her really crummy. So you would think that they would get the lesson, and we've had many conversations with those friends, is that, you know, look at what keeps showing up. What is it within you that keeps manifesting that? Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's right, yeah.
It's much easier to see that lesson in other people. It's a matter of being able to go within yourself and see what you keep creating in your reality you find objectionable. There's something in our belief system that keeps manifesting that lesson. If you don't get it the first time, it's gonna come back again. And usually with a little more heat, a little more energy, a little more solidity in it. Right? We've all had this experience. We've all had this experience. I call it the crap sandwich. Keep showing up. Why is that? Because there's something deep within me and one of my belief systems that says that I deserve this. And here's the part that is very fascinating about this. Belief systems are instantly changeable. You can let it go. And we've all done that at certain periods in our life, that we finally get the lesson, and it's like, God, how could I not see that? Then you change your belief about yourself. I don't want that anymore. I get the lesson.
You live your way into life.
Right. But it's through the programming of the belief systems that we live life. It's kind
of
like,
it's the deprogramming of the belief systems that we start to live.
Exactly. But here's the thing, is that belief systems is just a mental program. That's all it is. but yet people desperately hold on to it. And here's the thing that is really interesting, is that the chains that bind you don't bind you. You're holding on to the chain.
Yeah.
We're always at a choice to change our belief systems. Always at a choice. There are no chains that bind us. The only reason we have a chain around our ankle is that we put it there. Free will. Make sense?
So, given all that, how do we use? Actually, I'm not gonna phrase it as a question. I'm just gonna come right out with it. I believe that this Planet X experience is it's an opportunity for us to transform. It's a way for us to dodge the bullet by becoming something different. That maybe we allow the planet to pass through us. You know, it's like we evaporate to recondense another time.
We allow.
Is that becoming a wave, Will? To evaporate?
I honestly have no idea, no real thoughts on that right now. I just don't. I'm kind of emotionally and mentally just not there for that right now.
Really? Okay. Well,
I'm just not. I mean, I want to give you an honest answer, but I'm just honestly, I stopped about 5 minutes ago from being able to process much.
Right. Okay.
I don't know why.
have you kind of run out of spunk?
I think so. I think so. I think Jimmy Savile took it last visit.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Look, Will, thank you. Actually, what time is it? 19:35. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a great sport in joining the conversation, because you thought you'd just come in, you just phone me up and swear at me and call me stuff, and then it would be fine.
I absolutely love you. I love talking to you.
I know, but you didn't realize that I was live on the air, did you? Or did you?
No.
So I want to have some sort of flag somewhere, some little light. An internet light that says, here, I'm on the air.
On air.
Catch me now. Have a little thing on your mobile phone, an app. Ah, JP on air. In the house.
Yeah. Can I make a request, JP?
I want to say good night to William, but is it
right? But William, before you go, is that I would really like to talk to you a bit privately, if you would like, about my organite pyramids. I think that you have some information for me that would be really, really useful in making these pyramids.
Yes. Bees, scarab beetles, water, and copper. We do have to talk. I've been making a few, correct angle, like, you know, 51 degree.
Yes.
I put a water chamber in it, and, I make these organite ones, lights that run for 30 years. You never have to charge it up. It's over Unity device in it. It runs. They vibrate. And I got the copper. I do one fixed layer, and then I do a field effect, and the copper moves to position where it needs to be, where it wants to be. And then the epoxy hardens, and it holds that position, holds that value. And I put a ruby at the top. It's really nice. And we'll get into a copper, three-sided copper tubular pyramids on a 1-2-6 design, like a crop circle. oscillate Waterford gravity, and the gravity generator is basically Luke Skywalker's land speeder, hovers above the ground. And, wow. You know, you just put a 400 watt or a 1000 watt magnetron at the top of it, you oscillate the water and you have a gravity. You're producing the eddy currents through the copper and, it translates to a gravity at the source.
So, this is fascinating. I got, about 4 months ago, I've been really focusing on doing these organite pyramids, and JP and I actually did a show talking about pyramids and stuff. That was a while ago. But I got this download, and all this information and images came one night. And I was really kind of frustrated because I couldn't discern what the hell was going on. And it was really intense, and it lasted for about an hour. And
that was me thinking on it.
Wow, but here's what is fascinating in this, because there's some correlation in the information that I got, is that these organite pyramids that I was going to make is that they need to incorporate a water chamber.
Uh-huh.
Also, that I wanted to use quartz on the outside of it, but when I was visualizing this, what kept coming into my consciousness is using bits of this snowflake white quartz gravel and matrixing it on the outside with a slight separation between the pieces of gravel, but
like
80 also,
microns?
It was going to be very organic in the way that it was laid down, but in the epoxy is that, and I have to do this in layers, one side per pour, is that I needed to pour copper chips in between this quartz gravel. So when you look at it on the outside, you see this interlacing between the quartz gravel pieces of this copper matrix. So it'll be laced around the quartz gravel pieces.
In relation to chemtrails, gravity generators, and everything else, you want to go to the tune of two odd-numbered elements, one even. So you want, say, copper element 29, aluminum element 13, and, you know, barium element 56 divisible by 4. You want to do an oscillator-oscillator rotor, where the rotor is a rotor-oscillator, where it serves both, divisible by 4. And keep in mind that bees do not fly, they levitate. They produce their own gravity, and they just push a little air to maneuver. Scarab beetles the same way. That's why they would put scarab beetles in the pyramids and have a couple people in there to agitate the scarab beetles to make a conducive gravity wave that was conducive to the people surrounding the pyramid, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
That's why you Go ahead.
You know, as our thoughts propagate on a gravity wave, the Lord said, I hear you instantly, because our thoughts propagate on a gravity wave, which is basically 10 to the 8th and of light. And, you know, gravity is not a frequency, but utilizes a little carrier wave at 7.4 hertz. And our thoughts in medical science operate between 7 and 11 hertz, correct?
Right.
So there we go. That's why pyramids are so conducive. You and I definitely have to talk on a few designs. I have a few designs that would turn Jimmy Savile into a straight heterosexual that only liked people his own age.
He liked mature women, yeah.
Yeah, but here's one of the things that's interesting in the forbidden archaeology that I discovered, and the reason that I really noticed it is that I had a guided meditation where I got to meet my higher self, which was an amazing meditation and the layers of information that came from it. But one of the things that I was asked to do at the end of the meditation was to ask for something to be given to me. And as I'm looking at my higher self, which was this probably 10 to 11, 12 foot.
It isn't just the hair. Zach also has his dad's skin.
In this magnificent golden headdress, she handed me a scarab beetle, laid it in my hands. And it's like, what the hell? And I didn't have this information at the time that I had this guided meditation. I'm just looking at this scarab beetle and going, well, it's beautiful, but what the hell do I want this for? But that's what was handed to me.
Yeah, the bees, like, and scarab beetles, bees don't have enough surface area to be able to fly.
They don't
scientifically,
they don't fly. They levitate.
They levitate
through frequency and vibration.
Absolutely. The exoskeleton produces a gravity. They have basically a crystalline-like structure matrix going on, and it's very random. And it gives credence and proof to what I said in the 1980s that people laughed at, that actually superconductivity is not based on alignment. It's based on the incoherency of the lineup. And people were laughing. The science teacher laughed. And I said, no, I'm right. They can do some things when they line up the atoms and stuff. Magnetism is all alignment. But superconductivity does not go on that principle. It's actually the incoherent lineup to where it gives it its property. And, what is it, 10 years later, they came out in a science article and basically proved I was completely right.
Have you seen any of the information about John Searle?
Yo, John, I am friends with John Searle. We talk often. Jason Valley. Absolutely.
He has some information I need too.
John Searle is the person that is right. John Searle is proof positive that everything he says is 100% correct.
How about Ralph Ring?
Ralph, you want his phone number? I'm friends with him too. Me and a friend are designing. I gave them some ideas on stability, for the Utron to where we can do a gravity lens. I make gravity lenses. I line them, Fibonacci. Me and John Hutchison are going to be doing a massive state introduction of, bismuth to silica. Make gravity lenses out of bismuth to silica. I'm super horrified about. If there are five people in the United States that are uber sluts of designing gravity lenses for the tops and bottoms of round vehicles, I am that person.
You make flying saucer lenses.
I am the gravity inversely bends like light uber slut of gravity lens builders.
And of course, does that mean that it has to be which way is it focusing?
It does so inversely. So you bubble out the lens and you do from behind. And, there's a very, very, correct way of doing it to where you don't have to move the emitter assembly so much when going from lens to lens, and you can go near and far. But if you put a lens out and you put light through it and the light spread out at a 45 degree angle, gravity will bend inwards and focus. It'll inversely do what light does. Gravity bends like light, just inversely.
See
Yeah,
so
it's opaque to light. Hold on, I gotta prove my point.
Okay.
See, my name's Will, and I'm a complete fucking jack-off. There, basically, I could not know this information or technology unless I lived it. And I have teleported, I have time-traveled, I time-traveled 4 years and wrote about Fukushima, titled it Japan Earthquake 2011, talked about the reactors blowing up, wrote that in 2007. you know, it talks about quite a few other things, but teleporting to Mars. And I'm not a complete jack-off, but you know, I could be half an idiot on some days. And quite frankly, as JP will tell you, I am.
You know, we all have our Tourette's Tuesday. It's okay. And, you know.
Stop it! I do not!
That's tomorrow.
I'm going to talk.
Will, calm down.
That's breath, tomorrow.
Breath. Remember the breath.
Breathe.
Yeah, no, I've been going through a lot of regression and stuff, and I told Andy I'd basically get to a dysfunctional point. And yeah, it's very difficult. You know, a lot of it, beautiful. And even some of the beautiful stuff I don't want to remember because it's not helpful to, it's not constructive, and is very, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, you know, when I talk to Andy, I, you know, he knows not to interrupt, when I say a string of sentences together, and then he can go back, and he said, all right, you said this, who said this, and I say, well, I said this, and they said that, and we go over the sentence, because I can't describe to him until afterwards. So, I mean, that's just the way I'm constructed. And, so, you know, I have to say every sentence and word and pause in there that was said on Mars. And he said, who said that? And I said, the 6 foot, two and a half inch person that looked about 50 years old that never smiled. And he said, Courtney Hunt. I said, yeah, Courtney. And Courtney, I remembered the first name. I just didn't remember the last name. And I remember he said his wife's name was Linda. And I said, the actress? He said, yeah. And it wasn't the actress, but Linda Hunt's same name as the actress. And that was, you know, 1984. I'm sitting there babbling.
But it's good babble. It's, you know, it's entertaining, it's informative, and if you have ears to hear, you can hear so many other layers going on. So, you know, it really is always a pleasure, Will, to have you on. And always an education, because, like I keep saying, you know, every time you say it, you know, rotors, oscillators, rotors, I almost followed what you said before when you were talking about having these two oscillators and rotors and all the business and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I thought, you said, right, you need three things, and, like, one of them was, like, copper. I got copper, yeah. And then another one was, like, aluminium. Oh, yeah, I got aluminium. And the other one was, like, bismuth. Shit. I ain't got any bismuth. Where do I find bismuth?
This is an oscillator. Makeup. You can buy it for $10 a pound on eBay. I do regularly.
Bismuth.
Yes.
Okay. That's one to put down on a note.
Yeah.
So this would be a very interesting addition to making organite.
Absolutely. That copper, bismuth, I found a use for cobalt. nickel, I can make a shield out of three ply, use copper, you can do copper, bismuth, nickel, or stainless steel. Makes great beer shield. Pyramids, copper, solid copper, great, nothing really less than an eighth of an inch. But works good.
I got one I made of foil. Copper foil.
Foil will work. It's just, the thicker the copper to a certain point, you build an accelerator or, you know, basically a light duty gravity generator just, is targeted, the subcarrier wave, or targeted to. I'm looking at the truck on Mars that Ross Curley found, and determined it to be a 1959 Chevy, with the back end and the front end and the doors. And I've been doing a test on people. I said you have to kind of look at this photo forensically. It goes back a couple of years. You know, look at the picture. What do you see? And they say, well, that's a truck. And I go, and we know this is a person. It just doesn't come out that well in this photo. Now, the big question I ask them, what is it, a Ford or a Chevy? And they say, you know, it looks like a Ford. Cops say it looks like a Chevy. And then we get to the denial part of the whole thing. Is as soon as I say, good, we thought it was a Ford at first, then changed it to a Chevy, and we think it's a 58, 59 Chevy. He goes, that sounds about right. And I said, excellent. That picture was taken by Opportunity Rover in 2006 on Mars. And then all of a sudden, it's not a truck anymore. You know?
Programming and hypnosis in action.
Yeah. They start making a vibration then, don't you, Will? They start moving in a vibratory fashion.
Oh, yeah. And I point out, I said, look at the back fender. That is a Chevy. Look how it goes short from the wheel well. And he said, yeah, you can see the tire. I said, yeah. I said, you know, the photo's not that old, but it was zoomed in on, you know, pretty hard. And then I tell them, and then their jaw just drops. And he says, say again? I said, that was taken by Opportunity Rover in 2006 on Mars. I said, that truck, by the way, has an electric motor that's run by rod technology. And he said, that's on Mars? I go, yeah, that's on Mars that the general public has been lied to. And I said, you can download the image, and I give them the PIA. And tell them they can download it straight from NASA and where to look.
Uh-oh. William just dropped.
Oh, so he did. I was thinking just then, it's funny, they never seem to mess with William because he's always talking about such...
what did you think that for?
Hang on, there he is. They never mess with William. He's always talking about such innocent subjects.
Was that you, or did someone not like something?
They didn't like something.
The boys in the Fusion Center didn't like what you were saying about their mama.
Oh. Well, that's what the Fusion Center's for.
Yes, and we would like to thank the Fusion Center for the attention because it confirms exactly what we're talking about. Thank you for that confirmation.
And I hope they're listening and learning.
Because, I hope so too.
Because next lifetime round, they're going to need this information. It might be a long time, but
there isn't a next time.
So, God bless. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
This is the fifth time round. This is the last of the sine wave.
It's graduation.
This is 2013.
Graduation.
That's why the Mayan calendar, you know, they said end of the world. And they partied and ate themselves to death by cannibalizing. Because they found out, they were so happy because they found out how far off it was.
It was such a long way away. Nobody's ever going to worry about that. Well, here we are, 2013. La 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 la. And yeah, I think it's one of these moments. It's like we face extinction, and yet we face extinction every day. You know, we see all these movies and you know, what are these based on, reality or somewhere? You know, we seem to be facing extinction every week, and we somehow dodge the bullet.
Yeah.
Well, here's what is interesting is that I think it needs to be clearly defined. Extinction of what? And my belief is that extinction of the old consciousness.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah. No, no, no. I was processing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's awesome.
And here's why. Because it no longer serves us, plain and simple. As master creators, it no longer serves us. That old consciousness, the programming and the hypnosis no longer serves us. Yeah. We've learned all the lessons. We've been through all the lifetimes. We've played the drama over and over again. We've gathered all the information we possibly could as divine spiritual beings of light.
Yeah.
Now it's time to graduate.
Yeah, the dark entities can get the hell out of the way and not obstruct the flows and not obstruct the grays doing good on the planet. Government doesn't need to demonize and for a scenario, because grays are coming whether the government likes it or not, the concern about firearms, the original, you know, dialogue, they spun it like, you know, taking the guns out of Americans' hands and stuff, is, no, basically guns will be useless because the ammunition will have already discharged. We covered earlier in the hours that the mercury in the primers oscillate and will discharge ammo, which is why some of the kids were stupid enough to actually take ammunition to Mars when they were teleported, and the ammunition would discharge. And
ouch.
That's very bad. You know, you would have you know, it's just you know, there's you know, peace and happiness. And let's all consider, you know, if we go, you know, a lot of people go on the planet, consider being a vegetarian. If you eat meat on Mars, you are considered a prey. And to a predator. You know, a predator might look at you as a prey. Don't eat meat. Most of the people on Mars are vegetarians. I am a vegetarian. We are not angry with JP. We love JP. JP, as a radio person, is awesome, but has the standard stereotypical asking the questions in the correct order as a radio show, which I am pre-programmed to really get a splitting headache over. And it's not just you, JP, it's everyone. I have to pull my ear away from the phone or the headphones when certain questions come up. I know what the question is and can answer it, but if I hear it, I'll shut down. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, I'm sorry. And this is something we were talking about before, weren't we, Will?
Yeah, the alters.
Yeah. Yeah.
The alters, triggers. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I don't tell, you know, I do have a controller. Doesn't mean I have a handler. I'm not Charles fucking Manson. But I do have a controller. And I try to tell people there is a difference. There's a major difference. I've controlled people before, you know, and it's a job. And you know, it's, no, we're gonna go, we're gonna go here, you don't need to know where it is, and we're gonna go, set off a few things. Blow something up. You know. JP, remember that bomb that exploded in Barcelona?
No.
The train bomb. No.
There was a city. In the city, two devices had gone off. One was not so bad. The other one was way big. Remember that? I will say on this show that was me that did that from 1980s and forwarded quite a few years without really realizing. I remember we kept running. And it was like 3 minutes. And that put us sometime in the, you know, past the year 2000. And that was me. I remember being in the car. The second explosion was way larger, didn't see it, but heard it and felt it in the car. We were way far down the road. We were a mile and a half, 2 miles down. And I was the one that retrieved the closest one to the camera of the bomb that had went off that was just to the side of the store. It blew out the windows, and it looked like it came from inside the store, but it wasn't. It was actually to the side where you turn the corner to walk down like the street or whatever to other stores. But I remember they had these really, really low curbs. And that was me from about age 19, age 20.
So can I ask what the purpose was in doing that?
I have no clue, and I still don't know. I think I have no clue.
So what we're dealing with is a plan that is using people taken from different times, forward or backwards into time, to perform a small part of a multi-celled operation.
Yeah.
That is like, you don't know what's going on. You're just sent forward in time to drop this parcel here. Take this box and put that there. That sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the sad part, I kind of had an idea what it was and what we were doing. And that was really hard, but you know, you block it out, and I grabbed the big container, which was it was about 50 pounds, almost 50 pounds. I carried it, and it looked more harmless if I carried it. You know, I was like, you know, I weighed about 135 pounds, 125. And, you know, carried it over to the side, and, you know, there's the brickwork, and you just put it right behind the brickwork up next, you know, the window was up a little higher, and it was right there, and that one went off first, and, we were already in the car, not even a football length, really. And, that went off, and it didn't even take out the brickwork. You know, you imagine that buildings aren't built too great over there, but it didn't even take that out. And the one way further down the road where we weren't even at, just, I mean, there was bricks, stones, and everything in the middle of the road. And, I definitely felt that one. And when I looked, you know, there was just, when I turned around to look, it was just a shitload of smoke. Shit.
So it was a kind of deep breath. I know we've actually been covering a few rather harrowing moments this evening, and I really would love to thank Dave and you yourself, Will, and Tony, but particularly you and Dave, because you've been through some terrifying experiences. I know what you were saying earlier, Will, that, you know, you need to kick up the arse, but, you know, there's kicks up the arse and there's kicks up the arse. But, I want to, extend my gratitude to you, for agreeing to have this kind of extreme lifestyle. But I suppose that's, you know, that's the way
wonderful
personality goes.
Blessed with it, really. And I absolutely love doing your show. I look forward to doing your show.
Oh, well, I mean, you're a kind of hero because, you know, you're like time traveling man, you know, and you come out with all this amazing science as well. And like, and wisdom. Well,
we lived it.
Yeah. And you've lived it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. At time. Yeah, travel or TTN teleporting with a little bit of proof person that says penis and Jimmy Savile a lot.
Hey Dave, have you got a theme tune for me? Nobody gay had a theme tune. Nobody had Brendan, no, nothing. No, this, you know, where'd you get the producers these days? You can't find the staff.
I'm here.
Hello. Hi Dave.
I have a question, though, that was put in the chat room some time ago.
Oh, which one?
It says, don't know if any heard of cloud busting via TJ Lingo and Neil Slade, Amy Dala, forward clicking, etc. We could use this to scatter clouds, and that last part's a question.
Yeah, yeah, doing the copper tubular organite works very well. In fact, it's ideally suited for such a job.
Yeah, this is something else.
I have one of my other hosts, Dr. Mike Castle, who has described how to build that particular unit.
Yeah, but what Verge is saying, something else. She's talking about
forward clicking.
The forward clicking. So I bet Tony, I bet you know about that stuff.
A little bit. I'm going to go to their website or at least search up the information that he's specifically or they are specifically referring to because there's plenty of chemtrails over Seattle. Although I will say this, over the last 2 weeks, I'm not seeing a single one. Kind of amazing.
I'm interested in this forward clicking amygdala thing. Does anyone have any information about that?
I have no clue on that. I still don't.
Okay. Here's some really good information. The amygdala is directly behind our eyes. Okay. Uh-huh. And you have to go to YouTube. There's a woman in specific that I saw a YouTube video on, and she had come into this information. I forget exactly from where. But you can go with intention from your eyeballs starting to go back into your head. And when you hit the amygdala with your intention and your awareness, you will start laughing. You cannot help but to start laughing. That's kind of the joy center. And it's talking, she speaks of tickling the amygdala with intention and consciousness. And you can actually, after practicing this for a while, and I did it, and I was very surprised. And the first time that I did it, and it took maybe a minute or two to go with very conscious awareness back, and as soon as I hit that, I started laughing. And I went, holy shit, this works!
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's tickling the amygdala, and there's some YouTube videos
naturally
on it. It's definitely worth looking into and practicing because it is this wonderful state of, it's like an unbridled joy, the kind of laughter that comes out. And it just really surprised me because this is one of those things about setting aside our belief systems. You can have your belief systems back at any time, but you kind of need to set aside the belief system in order to embody this and just say, okay, new adventure, let's see what happens.
I got to get going.
Okay.
Can I name some names real quick? Thanks, Dave. JP, love you. Tony, we're going to talk via email and Skype. I'm going to annoy you at 3 in the morning. You're going to love it.
Okay. Yeah.
You're going to love Will calling you.
He loves a call when I'm producing a live show.
I just have this natural knack. I'll probably get Tony right before he steps in the shower.
Okay. Well, I need your contact information so we can Skype back and
forth. I'll pause you.
Okay. Super. And thank you for so much for joining us. And this is another one of those synchronous things because I'm going that with this awareness. I know I need some more information, and that was this morning on the Organite pyramids. And look what happened today. So,
yeah, we'll have a lot of fun. JP, yes. I have a lineup of a show for you.
Excellent.
I think we are going to have Mr. John Hutchison, myself. Laura Eisenhower, Dr. Robin Falca.
Wow.
Oh, no, that's almost too many.
That's an orgasmic show.
I'm having a truth orgasm. I'm having a disclosure, Fantasia smorgasbord.
Oh yeah. And we're going to have, Lisa M. Harrison, and we're also going to have, Andrew Bishago, I believe.
Oh my God.
This is top notch. We should have an all-dayer.
Yeah, that's a 4-hour show at least.
Oh God.
Wednesday? Good?
Wednesday.
I'm curious.
I see. If Dave is,
31st.
The 31st. Do we have a date? Well, Dave, if you've got airspace, I'll make time.
Let's have even more too. I Dr. and I can give you that too.
Well, you can bring together as many, you bring the stars together.
What time are you gonna have that?
I don't know. I know Andy's not doing anything at 1 p.m. So, Andy, John Hutchinson's available. Eva, not sure. I want to get Buzz Aldrin, on too, but that's a hopeful dream shot right there. But I have, CERN, the last person on the moon, I have his personal contact information, and I already talked to him once. I'm going to, already called him on that number once. I'm going to, give him a call. And how about we have...
I can open up 1 to 5 or 1 to 6 p.m. Wednesday. This coming
1 to 6... I think 1 to 6. We have... say we have Andrew Bishago, William Stillings on at the same time.
Send
bring in CERN.
Send me an email.
I will send you an email. This will be a fun, fun little put-together if it actually works.
Yeah,
that sounds
brilliant.
Really
awesome. Those people in my contact list.
Yeah, I think if I do this, I think I could run naked through Dave's living room without penalty.
you might get my
dogs would laugh at you.
It probably. My God, who showed up short in the family?
Some of the older women in the house might have a stroke.
Oh wow. Yeah, we could, you know, Dr. Robin, Falkoff is, she is making great talent in the health, care field, in the health field. With kicking the crap out of cancers and shit. Brilliant person.
I was just researching the benefits of hemp oil yesterday.
Aren't they incredible?
I'm gonna
natural
get...
Natural oil is great.
Yeah.
There's an interesting article up on rinse.com about hemp oil curing cancer.
Yeah, cannabinoids, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the cooking oil, you know, the oil from the seed is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And it's high temp. I mean, you can cook that pretty freaking high without corrupting it. It's amazing. The raw
stuff, right?
Yeah, just drink it raw. And the health benefit is no wonder they want to ban it.
Yep.
Oil from a seed. It has no THC in it whatsoever. And they want to ban it. That is kind of, you know, it's on the market, but, you know, on the market and they want to ban it. That's scary. Did you know that they removed, copper glutamate, the form of copper, the trace mineral, the vitamin, they took that off the market because it would keep people from having aneurysms and dying.
Of course.
They literally removed it out of the vitamin store. You can get it. All right, guys, I'm out of here. I'm going to run naked and have a burger.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And make sure...
Don't buy it from Walmart or Mickey D's.
No, I'm going to have a vegetable...
It's a veggie burger.
Yes, and it's a good one, too. It's a store-bought one. Uh-huh. And I'm going to have my fries. I'm going to have the coffee. And I'm probably going to have a little bit of my electronic cigarette, being I've been so freaking good.
A reward. It's very special. You do deserve it.
Well,
William
not
Stillings.
A reward. I can't handle the blood sugar thing. It's like, I'll explain to people real quick, is nicotine is not a drug. At all. Chemically, in the lab, we labeled it poison because chemically it is a poison. Nicotine is a poison, which is why the FDA would never touch the alcohol, tobacco, firearms. And it just inadvertently happens to fill the glucose receptors, which is why it suppresses your appetite, which is why people smoke right after eating. You feel more full. That is what nicotine does. So I am going to go eat, and I'm going to envision myself running naked through the El Segundo CIA headquarters or a federal building at a protest. See you guys. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Fill your glucose receptors.
Yes. It just chemically. All right. Bye.
Thank you, William. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, JP.
Thanks very much,
Dave.
Thank
you. Oh, my gratitude. Thank you so much.
So, this has been Journeys with JP. Dave, a few hours ago you said, who's going to be your guest? Hey, you didn't know it was going to be you and your ulcers.
No, I didn't.
And Tony and Will, and it's been, I tell you, this has been a wide-ranging, highly cosmic, highly information dense channel. If you've got the archive, you're coming in on the archive. I missed out the first bit, but I've got a quite a good clean signal on this one, so I can upload this one, Dave, if you want. All right.
Oh,
so thank you very much.
3 hours and 19 minutes so far.
That's about it. So I think about 3 hours and 20 minutes is about the length of this show. You haven't got any credits, have you? I'm just going to say thank you very much and good night, Dave.